You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry in for Tanzina Vega. On Tuesday night, Major League Baseball's most talented players gathered in Denver, Colorado for the 2021 All-Star Game. The American League won the game 5-2. Just as notable as the final result was the presence of Los Angeles player Shohei Ohtani. Not only did Ohtani hit leadoff for the American League, he was also the team's starting pitcher. Now, taking on these dual roles is rare in pro baseball, where teams often do everything they can to protect their star pitchers from injury. But Ohtani, who got his start in Japan, has shown just how exciting it is to watch a player excel, both on the mound.
Ohtani on 1-2. Got it! Fastball 99!
And at the plate.
Oh, got it! Got it! Got it! 33!
Oh, wow! Where did that one go?
Ohtani's success comes at a moment when Major League Baseball is dealing with an aging fan base and low game attendance that date back prior to the pandemic. But even as exciting players like Ohtani add a flair to the game that could pull in younger fans, baseball's gatekeepers have often used thinly veiled racism to criticize this emerging group of stars. For more, I'm joined by Kavitha Davidson, sports and culture writer for The Athletic and co-author of Loving Sports, When They Don't Love You Back. Kavitha, it's great to have you here.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
So let's be honest, I'm a baseball outsider. It was definitely the incredible team at The Takeaway who kind of pushed me to think through this. But I got to tell you, preparing for this and watching Ohtani, I'm maybe a little bit hooked. So describe to me what really sets him apart as a player.
Well, so he's been described as the Japanese Babe Ruth, but I think that's unfair to him, if you can believe that. He's something that we've never seen before, frankly.
Okay, that is, I was also thinking he's much cuter than Babe Ruth, at least, you know, at the end there. So what are the potential risks of having a star pitcher who actually also plays as a designated hitter?
I mean, it's always injury, right? As you mentioned at the top, managers are trying to preserve their pitchers as much as possible, especially with how hard that they're throwing. But with someone like Ohtani, we haven't seen someone who can hit as hard as he does and pitch as well as he does. And it's really a generational, once in a lifetime thing that we're seeing him do. It's quite phenomenal to see.
So you're framing this as a generational, as once in a lifetime. It sounds almost Simone Biles-like, right? In the sense of, nope, we haven't seen folks do this before. But it's also getting kind of framed around anxieties around nativism and race. ESPN host Stephen Smith said something this week about, you know, Ohtani can't be the face of baseball because he uses a translator. Can you just talk a little bit about this mindset of kind of English-speaking centrality here?
Yeah, I have to say, I don't think that mindset around Ohtani is actually pervasive or widespread around baseball circles. Now, I think that speaks to a larger point of in America about immigrants needing to learn English in order to be successful or in order to be marketable. But Ohtani has all of the charisma that any native English-speaking player could have. He is the most exciting player to watch. And I think that it's extremely short-sighted. And Major League Baseball itself knows that it needs to market players like Ohtani, like Fernando Tatis Jr., who are not native English speakers, but play the game in such an exciting way in order to garner a younger and more engaged fan base. And Ohtani is definitely a pathway to that.
All right. So as you talk about garnering this sort of, fan base that is younger, that will, you know, fill those seats, especially once the pandemic is more fully under control, how much of that can happen with, like, the thing that is standard baseball, and how much of it means baseball is going to have to change what it is?
Well, baseball has constantly been evolving. Baseball has this image, and rightfully so, of being stuck in its own past and holding on to its traditions. And in a lot of ways, the traditions of baseball are part of what make the game really beautiful. At the same time, baseball and Major League Baseball as an institution has known that it's needed to evolve in the way that it markets its game, the way that it markets its players, and the way that the game itself is actually played. There, without getting too much into the weeds, there are all kinds of rule changes that they've been experimenting with improving the pace of play, with making the game go faster and all of that. But definitely, you know, we're coming into a generation of sports fans that needs action every second of a game and consumes their games and their medias in completely different ways. And Major League Baseball has realized that they're coming up against that barrier and they're trying to evolve and trying to make little adjustments to garner that that future fan base and that next generation of fan.
So, Kavitha, I actually do want to go ahead and get into the weeds a little bit because it does feel to me like it's that pace of baseball that is both the only thing that I've really enjoyed about it in the past, because we've got a minor league, you know, team where I live. And so we go out and you just literally spend all day hanging out with your friends. But I only occasionally glance at what is happening with players. But if I'm going to watch it on TV, I want it to move, 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 move. And I'm not even a millennial. Right. So I'm wondering about in those weeds, how do you make baseball move more quickly?
I mean, for example, they've instituted a pitch clock, so pitchers can't take a certain amount of time in between pitches to literally improve the pace of play. For doubleheaders, they've instituted a 7-inning rule, where if you have two games played in a day, then each game has to go to 7 innings instead of 9. There are little tweaks that they're making. They're experimenting also with on-field tweaks, the way that shifts maybe can and cannot work in order to improve scoring and improve like literally spacing on the field. But you know, I think that the beauty of baseball is so much in those little subtle things that don't easily translate to TV watching until you've actually gotten a sense for the game. And it really is just the entry point. That's the biggest, for me, that's the biggest barrier for getting people into baseball. Is if you are comparing baseball to a game like basketball, where there's action, there's so much action on the court. Hockey is the most action on the ice, right, from a second to second perspective. But hockey is in no way the most popular sport in America. And football, which is the most popular sport in America, in a 2.5-hour game broadcast, there's about 14 minutes, that's not an exaggeration, of on-field action. So I think that baseball has, they have some room here to grow, but it really is, it's about perception. I think it's also about communities that you're marketing to. And Major League Baseball has a diversity office, a diversity and inclusion office that knows that it's needed to market to other fans, to younger fans, and it's really is working on this right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I did start watching golf when there was a Tiger Woods, and as exciting as hockey is, I sure don't watch it. So talk to me about whether or not the league can do enough to attract Black players and fans and bring that entry point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this all rests on having younger players, having players who exude sheer joy in playing this game. I mentioned Fernando Tatis Jr., who every time he hits a home run, it's a spectacle, and I say that in the best way possible. And Shohei Ohtani and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who won the All-Star Game MVP just last night. You know, we have a crop of really exciting young players who can cater to a more diverse audience, and I think Major League Baseball is embracing the fact that they need to embrace these players, and whether media or older fans are not, frankly, they're not going to matter in 20 years.
Kavitha Davidson is a sports and culture writer for The Athletic and co-author of the book Loving Sports When They Don't Love You Back. Kavitha, thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.